Welcome to
Wrinkled
Not Dead.
I'm Jennifer.
And I'm Mike.
We may be over 50, but we're here to prove we're still relevant.
And we have lots of real-world advice on confronting the challenges, but having fun getting older.
We're wrinkled.
Not dead.
Let's do this.
And that's the great way to begin, too. Welcome to episode number 68 of Wrinkled Not Dead. I'm Mike Bell, and you're partially...
Jen Bell.
There you go. What a week this has been.
Oh, my gosh.
We whiffed on a whole episode because we were both sick as a dog. You are a trooper, but you have pneumonia.
I do. It's getting better, though. It's the third day.
Yeah.
You know,
well, so. We've been delaying recording, and it feels weird, doesn't it?
I mean, it really does.
After 68 weeks, it's a part of our life, and to be too ill to do the show is kind of a problem. WrinkledNotDead.com is the source of all wrinkled stuff. All of our prior episodes, all the good ones before this hacking mess, are on the site. And anywhere, I learned this the other day, I was listening to NPR, and the guy said, a podcast on anywhere that podcasts are published.
I heard that too, and I really
did you?
Like
what were you doing?
It's interesting. I was going to bring that up, but then I got furry-headed from my pneumonia.
Yeah, well, so. Yeah. Well, you don't get as much oxygen in your system. And so you're, I mean, I'm so happy to be here. I mean, I feel terrific now, which is great. I had sinus infection and bronchitis, and you had flat out pneumonia. And also, I don't know if it turned into strep throat or not.
It was tonsillitis, and then it...
Oh, man. So, anyway, if you're feeling sorry for us right now, hey, we're still your pals. We're here for you. And I hope that you're going to enjoy the show today. If this is your first time listening to us, then God bless you. We really appreciate it.
We do usually sound a lot better.
Yeah,
but
we do.
You can find us on WrinkledNotDead.com.
Yeah.
And everything we talk about on this show, we will have more in-depth on our...
That's right. I publish, you know, every now and again. I've been remiss again this week, but we do have... The site's nice. I really like the site. We've been married for almost 34 years now. We do radio and TV. We do voice work, no matter what. We will figure out a way to get it done. I recorded a whole bunch of stuff this past week, regardless of the situation.
You
but,
did.
The whole thrust of our show this week is being there, done that. And that's exactly what's happened in that particular case. It doesn't matter how doggone sick, you're going to get the job done, and it has to be done. So anyway, we always kind of set up what the major topic is by giving some kind of relevant quote. And I'll take it over today just because you
no,
are.
No.
Okay, here it is.
So this quote refers to what we're going to talk about,
right.
Been there, done that.
Yeah.
And this quote starts like this. The same thing happened today that happened yesterday, only to different people.
Walter Winchell. Good for you. We have Emma in here with us today, too. Hi, Em. This is our latest dog. Emma's a purebred poodle. And she's about 9 pounds, and right now she's wondering what the heck is going on and why we're doing it.
Exactly. But
that's all right. So, Rose and Thorn. Rose and Thorn is, everybody loves Rose and Thorn.
You know what was interesting? The housewives of New York City were sitting around doing a dinner. You know how they do stuff on the TV.
No, because I don't watch the dog.
And they did a Rose and Thorn.
Get out of here.
I meant to tell you this.
Really?
They went around, and honestly, they said, we heard this about this cool idea, Rose and Thorn. I'm hoping they heard it from here. I don't know.
Well, we have a worldwide audience. Why not?
Yes, we do. And then so they went around and they said, everyone tell us what your thorn is and then tell us what your rose is.
Oh, I hope that they did get it from
I hope so, too.
You
so
thieving weasels.
Housewives of New York City, I hope you're listening.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, okay. Rose and Thorn is exactly... What Jen has been describing is something great that happened during the week and something that was kind of not great, which is the thorn. But we always kind of try to make a positive aspect to it. And in addition to Rose and Thorn, because of our friend Carolina X, we also have Buds. Her brother or somebody came up with this. One of our listeners came up with it. You got to throw in a Bud as well as a Rose and Thorn. So I'll start off with mine.
Okay.
Actually, I've got a really different one this week. My Rose is about the launch of a new podcast that I'm producing, but also co-hosting. It's Steal About the Buns with Tammy Lee Webb, who's a Fitness Hall of Famer and was the star of Buns of Steel back in the 80s, 90s. Hence the name. And so We recorded the episode number one this past week, and I have to tell you, it was kind of an odd experience because I work with you every week, all the time. So you kind of take a while to kind of mesh with somebody else's vibe and their delivery, and you got to be careful not to step on each other and in the vocalization and the thought pattern that you go through. But I really enjoyed it. Went on for about 45 minutes, and she's talking about fitness, but from a different perspective, from a perspective of mind, body, and spirit. That's where she has moved after the buns of steel kind of thing. And, she's around our age. And so, she knows what she's talking about, and she has a very purposeful show. And I was delighted to be part of it. So that's my rose. My thorn, obviously, was the sinus thing. I mean, good grief. Can I, get a break? I have allergies, so I'm never quite sure if I'm sick or just having allergies. But this week was definitely unpleasant. So, your rose.
Okay.
Your thorn.
I'll start with my thorn.
Okay, why not?
I have pneumonia, as we all have been talking about. So enough about that.
Enough about...
But the rose was, when you have pneumonia and everything that I have, I lost my sense of smell.
And you have, how am I going to put this nicely? You have a famously great sense of smell.
This schnoz can smell something a mile away.
That's right. A dog poops in New York City.
And
here in San Diego, you know about it.
But one of the things that I love so much about is like the smell of perfume and the smell of flowers.
I know.
And I never realized how much I absolutely love my keen sense of smell until I lost it.
Yeah.
And once you have one of your senses taken away, it is devastating.
Imagine, you almost have the same situation with your sight because you have glaucoma. So one of your eyes is kind of messed up.
Yeah.
But now, the olfactory sense isn't that the last thing that you lose when you're passing away?
I don't know, but we'll look that up as a not very fun fact.
It's not a fun fact, but I think I believe that's the case.
Yeah, well,
it's the last thing. I do know that it's the last thing to wake up when you wake up.
Wow.
Yeah, your sense of self.
Well, I have to tell you, it threw me for a loop because I didn't know, I couldn't smell like anything. I didn't want to make sure that my breath was okay. And
yeah.
We rely on our sense of smell for so much.
Yeah.
So it's now starting to come back. And I thought, you know what? I wouldn't give my sense of smell for all the money in the world. Mm-hmm. It is a gift. So I know I sound kind of ooga booga, but
you are ooga booga, Jen.
But no, I'm not. I'm more practical than ooga
booga. No, you are. I know. I'm only kidding you.
But I'm telling you, if you have your sense of smell, you have everything.
Okay. You know what? It instantly came to my mind when you said this. My recollection of when I was 10 years old as an altar boy with the incense burner. That's the first thing that comes into my mind right now. I can smell that wonderful scent of incense from being an altar boy back when I was a kid. And I think a lot of people can relate to how strong their recollection of this or memories of that are tied to their to their sense of smell.
Yeah, so memories are smell.
Yeah.
And so, you know what? If you wake up in the morning and you can breathe and smell things, you're lucky.
So your health minute, of course, has got to be attached.
It is.
To this.
It's attached.
Yeah, Jen's health minute.
I just want to say that if you're sick with any kind of nasal or chest thing, I'd forgotten about Vicks VapoRub. And it's as old as the hills.
I know.
And it still works. You put it on your chest, a little bit under your nose. I did. I put some actually on my shoulders, and it really, really helped. And we also have a buckwheat heating pad.
Oh, God. How many years have we had this thing? It's in this ancient box, and you put it in the microwave for 5 minutes, and it heats up the buckwheat inside this bag. And you put it wherever you want, but it's very soothing for muscles.
It's really good for muscle aches and pains, and it's all natural. And same with Vicks VapoRub. I mean, it's over the counter. All that kind of is all natural, and it really helped.
We were looking for the inhaler.
I found it.
Get out of here.
I found it. It was at Rite Aid. It's a Vicks VapoRub inhaler. Do you guys remember? It looks like, I don't even know. It's
like a chapstick stick?
Exactly. Good, good. A chapstick stick with a inhaler top. And inside of it is Vicks VapoRub, and you inhale it in your nose, and it feels
You
great.
Found it, huh?
Yeah.
I thought that was like, you know, so over with, and that nobody produced it anymore.
You know what? Just because it's old doesn't mean it's not still relevant.
No, exactly. Been there, done that. Okay. Fun fact. Oh, I've got a great one.
Okay.
It's not really fun, though.
It's actually a very good one.
It's a good one, but it's not that fun. Big Ben, the famous bell in London.
The big clock.
Well, there's more about that.
Yeah, I know.
You do, because you're English. But Big Ben is going to be silent for 4 years. Believe it?
Wow.
Yeah. It's 158 years old, and it has been silent in the past. But Big Ben is actually the central bell, the big one. And it's like, weighs like 9 tons or nine and a half.
Of the big clock, you guys.
Yeah, the big clock in London, which is called the Elizabeth Tower. People figure that's Big Ben, but it's actually the Elizabeth Tower. So Big Ben, the bell, requires some maintenance. And so Big Ben's going to be quiet for 4 years. The other four bells that make up the chiming of the quarter hour, half hour, three quarter hour are going to maintain that rhythm. So that's something still. But we've heard it ourselves, and wow, there's just nothing like that, is it?
Dun, 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 dun. It's wonderful. And
it is.
And you said, too, it's the most photographed site in England.
Absolutely. It's just, well, it makes sense. I mean, what is it in France? In Paris, it's the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, exactly.
In London, it's the Elizabeth Tower with
Big Ben.
God, see, but just to be accurate about this stuff, you have to go through all that. So anyway, for 4 years, that's a long time. Everybody's going to miss it, I'm sure.
Well, they have to do things to keep it up. The one thing about London is they really do keep up their history and all their buildings and monuments and everything.
They do.
Very well.
Serious buildings, any of the buildings in downtown London were all black because of the smog.
Sure. I lived there during the time.
And they were black then?
They were black, yeah.
And so all of them have been scrubbed off now.
Years and years of cleaning.
Yeah. It looks like a different city now, doesn't it?
I know.
Yeah.
It really does.
Anyway, that's the fun fact, other than the fact that the Big Ben goes quiet on the 21st of August. But the 21st of August, for everybody out there who's been talking about it for weeks, is also the site of the totality of the eclipse of the sun.
And what's interesting, I've got a fun fact about the eclipse.
What's that?
Is that animals can sense when a solar eclipse is happening.
I've heard that.
Cicadas stop singing.
We have them down here. Uh-huh. Don't they kind of naturally just shut up after?
I think when it gets, I don't know.
I don't know.
No,
we'll
you
find
know
out.
What? Cicadas come out when it gets dark. So why would
they go quiet.
Stop singing when it goes darker.
I looked it up.
Interesting.
Okay, anyway.
Bees get restless.
Yep.
So bees get very restless. And squirrels.
This is the cool bit.
Run around for 2 hours during and after the event. So the squirrels are out there going crazy.
Crazed squirrels everywhere. So if you live first of all, the path of totality is, you know, it's very narrow. It's only like 7 miles or something. And it goes from Oregon, all across the United States. It's the first time in, 99 years or something like that. So, one of my best friends and the best director who I've ever worked with anywhere, Robert Lennon from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, who's a partner in KO Group, a production company, took one of his daughters to Kansas City.
Wow.
To see the totality. And he's been sending, I've been begging him to say, what's going on? You got to send me text some information so I can tell our listeners, because this is a big deal. And he says it's absolute mayhem and madness. The traffic is beyond comprehension because, for the most part, other than, I think, Nashville is the largest city in the path of totality. And it's only got 650,000 people. So the rest are like small towns. And so the traffic is like narrow two-lane roads, and the gouging, the prices of stuff have gone through the roof. I mean, car rentals, while they had them, were just hundreds of dollars a day. And now the concern is gasoline. What the heck? And then after all this, when the event is over with, everybody's going to want to go home the same day, on Monday, the 21st. What's that going to do? So it's just an amazing event, but it's not, I remember there's one thing, see how excited I am today because we haven't done the show? Anyway, I'm feeling great. So the last time there was a total eclipse of the sun visible in the United States, there were like 9 million cars. Now, there are 265 million cars.
Wow.
So that just gives you a glimmer of what confusion is possibly going to happen tomorrow.
Let me ask you, what did he say about those glasses that you have to wear? Are they very expensive? And how do you get them?
No, he's a producer and a director, uh-huh. So he was on this, right? So he sent me a picture, texted me a picture of he and his daughter wearing these goofy glasses. They're not the ones that I have seen typically on commercials or on news broadcasts where people are already wearing them. But it looked like one of them was like totally black, totally opaque. And the other one had something of a visual acuity through it. But he got the very best you could get.
You know what worries me about this? How do you know that the glasses you're buying are actually going to protect you?
That's true.
That's
There's
what I'm
scams
worried
about. All over the
yeah,
place
so
about this.
So you look
this.
Up in the sky and you go blind or you get eye damage?
Yeah.
If you get a scammed one?
That's true. I mean, people used to use welder's glasses and those were okay, but you actually need broader spectrum protection than that.
Yeah.
And a lot of people use those pinhole camera things.
And remember you used to be able to make them through like...
Yeah, you just poke a hole in a piece of paper.
Yeah,
hold the thing up and put it on another piece of paper and you can... It's kind of crummy, to be honest with you. It's kind of crummy.
Just don't... Oh, and by the way, this will probably be out way after.
What's that?
I was going to ask everybody to keep their pets inside.
Oh.
But you know what?
No. This is going to be out. This is going to be... No, I'm
publishing
right away.
So if you hear quickly, keep your pets inside because pets don't know not to look up at the sun.
Oh, for heaven's sake, I didn't even think of that.
I know. They talked about that.
I did not know that. Oh, that's
I did very, not know that.
Yes, you are correct. this is I'm
Ed
you know
McMahon.
What I just, I'm thinking about Tammy Lee Webb again because in her show, I'm Ed McMahon playing to her Johnny Carson.
Uh-huh.
So it's already a joke between the two of us. It is, "Yes, you are correct." I loved Ed McMahon.
And me too.
He was wonderful.
I know he
to
was.
To me,
great.
He was actually even kind of cooler than Johnny Carson.
He was. He was really fun.
Yeah, he was really fun. Okay, so let's launch on Been There, Done That. Now, this is a weird topic for us. Now, first of all, we always do a little investigative work. Where the heck did the expression come from? Been there, done that, dude, right? So it's actually from the 70s, and it's attributed to an actress named Lauren Toos. I don't remember her.
No.
No, anyway. Lauren Toos. Sorry, Miss Toos, if you are listening. She had just got divorced. She said she doesn't plan to get married at this time, using an Australian expression, been there, done that. So it's from Australia. It's from the 70s and now attributed to Miss Lauren Toos.
Interesting.
But yes, but what our approach to been there, done that, and I was so excited about this because... I don't know, these weird things excite me, I guess. But to me, isn't everybody always suggesting that you live in the moment?
Mm-hmm.
Live for the moment because the past is the past and the future is unknown. And
it's not promised.
Exactly. All of that. I don't get it. I don't see it quite that way any longer.
Okay.
Because I'm now 66 years old and I have wonderful things in my past. I have been there. I can be right now. I can be with you in Bali.
Oh, yeah.
For example.
Yeah.
I can be with you in Rome.
I'm there. Okay.
Yeah. The Spanish Steps. How about that?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Remember how the cobblestones are
Absolutely.
So stinking hard to walk on?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
We can be there right now.
Uh-huh.
What is wrong with reminiscing and being there at least part of the time? I mean, it's you've collected all of these memories over your life. Why not enjoy them? I have been there. I have done that. I loved it then. I love it even more now. It's probably a warmer, fuzzier thought now than it was during the actual event, but that's okay too. And I started to think as well, the other side of the coin is projecting the future. Been there, done that. Today is going to be a great day.
Well, that's good.
Well, yeah. I mean, that was part of actually what Tammy Lee Webb was doing in Steal About the Buns. She says she wakes up every morning and she has developed a habit it's like 60 days or something like that, to wake up in the morning and just think about what is going to transpire during the day. on the particular day that I'm discussing with her, she said, "I know this is going to be a great podcast. I've never done one before, but I can count on Mike Bell because he's done 67 of them and he knows what he's doing and it's going to be a great show." And that's the way she was projecting the future, visualizing success during the day. So I love that. And I think there's a lot to be learned from both aspects of it. Yeah, live for the right now, live for the moment like we are at this moment. But don't forget the past and use and project into a good outcome for the future.
So I have a question, though. With been there, done that, for me, I was thinking, okay, how do people our age that have been there and done that find excitement now?
At the present?
Find newness now. Yeah.
Wow.
So I was thinking about that.
Well, let me think about it for a second. Well, okay. If you are then following the idea that you're living for the moment, then this moment is just terrific. And it, why not? I mean, I'm having a terrific time right now. I'm living absolutely in the moment with Emma the dog in your arms and you struggling and doing your show and doing all that and doing a great job. So that is living for the moment.
Well, you know, I hearken back to the theater days.
Yes.
And we would do the same play over and over and over again.
Yep, same words.
Day in, day out, day in and day
months.
Out. But each time we found some newness in something that we had already done.
Yes.
And that is
that's
kind
a great
of what,
example.
That is kind of what how I've learned to, you know, I'm not bored with life at all. Just because I've been there, I've done that. Well, there's variations of what I've already done.
Yeah.
And where I've already been.
Yeah.
And so I think that is it. Some people our age kind of get bored and say, you know, is that all there is? You know.
Is that all there is, my friend?
So let's
keep dancing. Let's break out the booze
yeah.
and have a ball.
Oh, gosh. But you know what I mean.
Peggy Lee.
Yeah, Peggy Lee.
Good grief. Well, you are on it. Maybe the drugs that you're taking for pneumonia here. Yeah, you're on fire there, girl. But there is benefit in routine.
There is benefit in routine.
And I love it.
And there's newness in routine, like there was in the play that we did. Each time I went out as the same actress and the same thing, Groundhog Day, over and over again, each performance was different.
And we would, I mean, it's very much all about us, right? But the fact is that we would analyze like every minute of the doggone script every day, before the show, after the show. It was your life. There was this routine of the endless repetition of those same words, but somehow different every night because the people we were interacting with were all different. And the people we were working with on the stage, one way or another, was a little bit different yesterday, today, and will be tomorrow about doing the show.
So you're saying there's newness in endless
Absolutely.
Repetition.
Yeah. So. Or, well, here's a good one. Remember our poor friend June Lockhart from Lassie and Lost in Space? We were doing this show with her, and she kindly, sweetly brought us to Banff. We were working in Calgary, Alberta, I believe. And anyway, we went to a resort, and she wanted to see this resort. And we went there, and we had a fine lunch, and we all got beaver fever.
Not me.
Not you. No, she and I think
yeah,
we drank orange
sick.
Juice or something.
I don't know. You both
reconstituted
got sick,
orange juice. So we were sick, like, I mean, seriously, we were feeling awful. And I remember thinking, this is the definition of a professional. She is going to go out there tonight, sick as hell, and do a great performance. I mean, so much sick. I'm not kidding you, my friends. She had a bucket beside the stage. I'm serious. But she would not give up. She just stuck to her guns and she did that performance. And for a couple of days, she was just not well, but it was part of our routine. And for her, been there, done that, you bet. And she probably has had, I'd love to talk to her about it, episodes of catastrophes that are just as broad and wild as that was to us during that performance in Calgary.
Well, unfortunately for stars, people come to see the stars.
Yeah, they don't come to see us.
So there is no good sort of stand-in for a star.
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
So she kind of sucked it up and did it. But I guess what we're trying to say is there's many people who get to our age that get depressed because they think there's no more excitement in life. I've done everything I need to do. I'm done. I'm finished.
Right.
But that's just not true. What we're trying to say is, as in a play, as you go out, and even though it was the same play, we found newness in repetition.
And I have advice for people we have a lot of listeners who are younger than 50 years of age.
We sure do. And young people get bored, too.
Yeah, but what I want to do is give it personal advice is that, okay, now say you're in your 20s, maybe you're in your 30s. Say you have your parents that are still alive. Say you even have your grandparents who are still alive. Use what we're talking about now. Remind them that they've been there and done that. Ask them questions. Remind them of what was it like when Y2K happened in the year 2000. You know, how you, mom, dad, grandma, what happened? It wasn't everybody so scared that all the computers were going to die? And it was just, but ask them stuff about their past. And you watch them how they flourish and bring back those memories. And you'll love it. You will get the stories of your lifetime. And personally, you will never forget those stories because they will tell them from an authentic point of view. And I think that would be the greatest gift that young people could do for their elders. Remind them of being there and doing that.
And then youth wouldn't be wasted on the young if you do that.
Wait, you do write that down? No, you didn't. You just came up with that.
I did. I see, my mind is starting to click back in.
Yeah, it is. Because of the show. Yeah, I mean,
that's one thing I have to say is I wanted to tell everybody one thing about doing a podcast or even a blog is that it keeps you mentally sharp. I know I've said that over and over again, but I didn't really feel it until this week when I was just too ill to do the podcast. Mm-hmm. And my brain started kind of going backwards. And I've enjoyed the clarity that the podcast has given me.
Yeah, you're on point. I mean, and it feels good, doesn't it?
Yeah, so if you just want to put out a blog just to keep sharp or a podcast just to keep sharp, go ahead and do it. No one's stopping you. This is what's great about the internet.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So you're sick and you've got nothing to do. Time off. You got plenty of it.
I have a weird time off. You guys are going to think I'm really strange. But Cinderella, and not the cartoon Cinderella, but Cinderella, a very, really good movie, came on. And I started watching because I thought, you know, I want to watch something mindless. And I was so touched. I was watching it from a different perspective. I actually shed a tear, and you know I never shed tears in movies.
I cry at commercials, but you
do. And it was all about Cinderella basically was happy within herself.
Yeah.
And even when she was up in the attic, she found the mice to be interesting. Aww. And her whole thing was to be true and happy in yourself and be kind to others. And then life will take the path that it should take for you. And that, again, sounds so ooga booga, but when the prince first met her, he thought that she was just kind of like a scullery maid. And when he found out she was the one that fit those glass slipper,
right.
She said, well, you see me as who I am. I'm not a princess. I'm not this. I'm not that. Do you still love me? And he said, yes, I love you for who you are, not all the surroundings. And I thought, wow, what a good story to tell young people is to be love yourself, to be think of yourself as worthy, confident, and to find beauty and happiness in everything and just be kind to others, and then everything will just fall into place. Life will take you along.
It's a wonderful storyline, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, I haven't thought of Cinderella for decades.
Me too. And nor did I ever look at it this way. I looked at it in a different way. So once again, been there, done that.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've seen Cinderella before. Go back and watch it. You'll see a lot of good things in it.
Oh, that's wonderful. My time off is not nearly as impressive.
But it is.
It's the time of the migration of the monarch butterfly.
Oh, yes.
Okay, we love monarch butterflies. And I remember there was somebody, a health worker that you knew, who was like crazy about monarch butterflies, a lady. She was nice.
Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. She's a listener, too. Right?
She's amazing.
She is amazing. Anyway, we know she's going to love this.
Kindest people on this planet.
Anyhow, it's from Mexico. And I was talking to Alberto, who came over to our house to fix the irrigation system. Some valve had blown out. And a monarch butterfly, and then two more, came into the back patio with us. And he's looking at them, and I thought, what is he thinking? So I said, you know, it's time of the migration of the butterflies. He says, oh, I know. I was just in Mexico. He'd been down there visiting some family members. And so he saw them departing from Mexico, coming north, and them fly 3,000 miles.
I had no idea.
Oh, my gosh. And the pictures that I saw, and he did too, he said, yeah, the trees would just be full of them. Full of monarch butterflies by the hundreds of thousands. And so we've had them, you know, drifting up through town over the last couple of days. And it's just a beautiful, they're just so gorgeous to begin with. But for one reason or another, to me this year, they're just huge too. They're larger than it seemed like in the last few years. So it must be something in the water or something, but it's a monarch butterfly migration time. And that was my time off.
Oh my gosh.
And I enjoyed it with our pal Alberto.
Love it.
Yeah, I know.
Remember when you have one.
I do. A friend of ours, Nancy Schuth, who's our medical insurance broker, said, I got one for you, Buster Brown Shoe Store. I said, what?
Uh-huh.
Well, Buster Brown Shoe Store is no longer with us, but probably in a new iteration they are. But at any rate, they were famous for making an interesting event for little kids when they had to buy shoes, or your parents would bring them in. And of course, the kids are bored in like 18 seconds, mm-hmm. right? So at Buster Brown, you would always get a balloon.
Aww.
And so, yeah, it was a cool thing. And they did what they could to keep the kids engaged while they were doing a necessary chore, or their parents were, in buying them shoes for school or whatever. So Buster Brown shoes, anybody who can remember those and the balloon idea, that's our remember when.
I have a remember when that just came up.
What?
I love that one, though. You know, that's good. A lot of actual malls started doing that, too, later on, is, you know, having sort of things for kids to do while their parents
are
shopping.
Well, you know, I'm a famous non-shopper, so.
I know, exactly. But remember when doctors would come to the house?
Oh, my God. I do.
I was just thinking about that. Boy, would I have loved to have had a doctor come to my house instead of me having to get dressed.
Yeah.
Go into a car and drive down with my pneumonia.
I
want those days back. I know that you can get some areas you can pay extra and have a doctor come to the house.
At least a nurse practitioner.
And maybe a nurse.
Yeah.
But this
is a
doctor.
Whole family. Yeah, I know. Can you imagine the amount of time that took for that person's wonderful skills? There they are. They're the ones who are doing the driving around, and they've got the big bag. Remember the bag?
I remember the big black doctor's bag. Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
I sure do.
Golly. Yeah, I remember my brother Fred having a boil on his butt lanced by a doctor who came to our house. But I digress.
You digress, sure. I wanted to leave a happy thought.
Okay.
I've been there and done that.
You're thinking about the boil on my brother's butt?
No, I'm thinking about the doctor that came in and coming in to save me.
All right. Let's wrap it up with some good quotes. You know what? I'm going to swap with you because yours is going to be more interesting. So I'm going to do mine first. I wish life had a rewind button. Remember when, I guess.
But I don't know. That's kind of neat. I mean, I would like to rewind a few things. Think about it, you guys. What would you like to rewind and do over again?
Well, that's the whole thing about it. There's no rewinding anymore. It's not like we have cassettes any longer.
Oh, that's true.
So, geez.
Maybe young
that's why this
won't
is so lame a quote. Okay, I don't know why
let's
typed it in.
Let's move on quickly to mine then.
All right.
You never change your life until you change something you do daily. The secret of your success is found in your daily routine.
Been there.
Done that. Thanks for listening. Remember, we weren't born yesterday.